Hi, good Vach and good Erev Rosh Hashanah. That's right. We are right before the Yom HaDin, but also the Shana Tova and Shabbos. Wouldn't you look at that? All right, this is Yisachar Wartel, and we are moving upwards and outwards. That's actually the name of this Dvar. So if I were to ask you how to say horn in Hebrew, most people would often answer Karen, Kufresh Nun. But if I asked about the horn that we blow in Rosh Hashanah, everybody knows that that's a shofar. So why are there two different words? So first of all, a keren could also include a para from a cow or a bull specifically, which we can't use for a shofar, but the term keren can also be used for, you know, a ram's horn. But when we specifically utilize it for a shofar, then that has a different purpose. So again, a keren can be any horn whatsoever of an animal, whether it's a bull, an ibex, a goat, a ram, anything like that, bighorn sheep. But the oral law teaches us that the shofar must be specifically from anything other than a para, and ideally it should be curved, as the Gemara explains. Right? So machlokas, I think, whether or not it has to be curved, I'm not certain about that, but at least most authorities hold that it either should or must be curved, if not all authorities. Now, most often, kosher shofar comes from the member of the sheep family, although other animals such as gazelles and goats are considered to be kosher. The choicest animals for a shofar, of course, come from a ram, since it's symbolic and has many, many intricate connections to Akedah Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, which is an episode firmly associated with Rosh Hashanah and this general time of year, as well as, you know, going back already to the concept of Hashem even remembering Sarah, which led to the birth of Yitzhak and everything and that's surrounding that. Now, Chazal and mystical sources also teach that the reason the shofar must be curved, at least in its initial state, is because it can be turned upwards, symbolic of our cries curving upwards towards the heaven. And also, there's a concept that's mentioned throughout Chazal about our judgments being hofech, being turned, so to speak, or upturned from din to rachamim, from strict judgment to mercy. Now, another idea put forth by the sages is that one should not or cannot really be linear, doing the same thing year in and year out, like doing the same thing you do this year, we did last year, and that's actually part of the root of the word shana, which means change. So it's Rosh Hashanah. You're at the beginning of this new year. Is it going to be shona? Is it going to be different than what you did before? Or is it going to be like sheni? Is it going to be like shana, meaning like from the second? It's like, it's going to be the second time around. It's going to be the same thing as last year. So that's up to us to decide. And that's one of the things we've got to figure out leading up to and certainly on Rosh Hashanah. But the goal is to improve and better oneself. And in fact, the word shofar comes from the root shaper or hishtaper, which means to improve. Now, this is often in the form of improving oneself, but obviously the root can be used in many different contexts. Now, in the context of the shofar, the curve upward symbolizes positive growth and non-lateral movement. It can be also looked at as the beginning of a circle. We have much symbolism of roundness, especially on Rosh Hashanah. We have it in our challahs, symbolizing the cycles of life, and many other aspects that we may have, depending on which simanim we have as well, whether it's olives, other things like that we may have. But there's a concept of roundness symbolizing the cycle, but as I've heard many times from many rebbeim, we're rather not focusing necessarily on a circle, but rather a spiral. And hopefully it's a spiral upwards so that we are changing and moving and not just repeating ourselves in a complete circle. Also, when we hear the cries, we want the cries of the shofar to go upwards, upwards to Shemayim. And we want Hashem to hear our cries and, in a sense, curve back downwards, toward, so to speak, responding to our cries, coming back towards us. So we start that circle and then it curves back to us, almost like, not exactly like a boomerang, but like it curves up to Hashem. And behalf mimicking our cries and our strong desire to try and change and shock ourselves into really making a change to our lives that we're not doing the same thing year in and year out. And then Hashem in turn fills in the rest of that circle and comes back around. So, but as I said, we are not viewing it as a circle, but rather more of a spiral because the goal is to change. The goal is not to repeat things, but to develop and to go to a new level and a new level, a new track each year. It's almost like, in that sense, you can, in addition to a spiral, you could also potentially think of it as like rings on a tree or inside a tree trunk, right? It's concentric circles. You know, whether it's extending inward, outward, that's a different way of looking at it. But it's an important idea. Another idea is that shofars and horns, right? So all horns are made out of keratin, which is the same protein that our nails and our hairs are made out of. In both members of the sheep family as well as bovines, the horn is actually a sheath on top of bone, right? A keratin sheath on top of bone, giving it either a hollowness or the ability to become hollowed out. But what precisely, I mean, other than, putting aside potential context of the chet egel and things like that, but what is the material difference between a straight horn and a curved horn? So aside from the fact that curved horns tend to be actually stronger and more dense, actually, than straight horns, they also have keratin grow outward in extended layers. I looked this up. The keratin grows outward in extended layers, leading ultimately, and it kind of grows out. Like, if anybody's ever seen anybody, like in Guinness Book of World Records or whatever, that has really, 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 really long nails, they start curving. If somebody has really, really, really long nails, they eventually start curving. So that's what happens when keratin grows outward. However, a straight horn, a straight keratin, consists of the same type of keratin layers one after another, and it doesn't curve the same way. So it's kind of more of the same thing. It's consistency, but not in a good way. It's kind of the same old, same old. But a shofar is dynamic. It changes. It doesn't just add on. It moves. It goes in a curved direction. There is some dynamic movement to it. There's therefore a change as the keratin extends. And perhaps this is an additional lesson, the shofar, that we must continuously improve and grow outwards. We cannot remain complacent or stagnant, even if we make some slight modifications, but effectively doing the same thing year after year. But rather, we should be shaper. We should constantly seek to improve, to move that circle further, to move inward, whether it's inward, outward, however you want to describe it. But we want to be able to develop and change in a way that we can see it in ourselves, we can feel it in ourselves, and of course, resonates and Hashem sees what we're trying to do. And not everything we do is necessarily always successful, but we still have to try and make the initiative. Like, there are many times that we set goals on Rosh Hashanah, we don't necessarily live up to them, but we set the standards, right? One of my favorite sayings is, shoot for the stars, even if you don't reach them, you may at least reach the moon. So we always have to strive, and Hashem wants to see us grow. Hashem wants to see us moving forward. Hashem wants to see us working. And sometimes we actually have to be a little more realistic and not necessarily bite off more than we can chew. But we want to just focus on growth. And just like the horn growth or nail or hair growth, sometimes it can be very slow. And sometimes it can just be a little bit by a little bit, but it's moving in a specific direction. And that's what we need to do. And that's what Hashem is asking for us. And we have an advantage this year of being on Shabbos. Ironically, I'm saying it's an advantage even though we don't have the shofar. We have the ability to be our own shofar. And this is something else I talked about a little bit in my written part this week. We do not have the shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah this year because it's Shabbos. But the lesson of the shofar is still there. And it's our tefillos, our voice, and our connection to Hashem that Hashem can see what's in our heart, and we can connect through our tefillos in a way where our voices take the place of the shofar, and we don't need the help of the shofar because the Shabbos helps us with that. And then, because the second day of Rosh Hashanah is the only day that has the shofar, it makes that day so special, and we can really think of it as a much more powerful voice. So may we hear the voice of the shofar. May in turn Hashem hear our voices for a year of only good without suffering and a world of peace, harmony, and closeness to Hashem. Wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom, a Shana Tova, and a Gemar HaSeima Tova.